another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Okay, tonight is all about angels. That's right. Tonight we have our own Melody R. Green from Creative Soul Cafe with us, talking about her very special encounters with the angels. We're also going to be talking about her life-changing course called The Soul's Journey. And I must tell you, it is very powerful. My life has already changed dramatically. I'm still in awe. And we're going to be talking about this during our time together tonight. In the meantime, as always, I want to thank you for listening. Just having you listen wherever you are in the world means so much to me. So after this short commercial break, we'll be right back with a small story that I want to share as a tribute to you taking your valuable time to be with me. The University of Attraction. Where else can you take free interactive courses from international scientists, medical doctors, spiritual leaders, and experts in the field of the Law of Attraction? At the university, you will have your personal questions answered, enhance your intuitive skills, communicate with the angels, fill your life with music, and free meditation and hypnosis downloads. Sign up today. Go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the University of Attraction. The doors are wide open, waiting for you now.
Hello, I'm Melody Green from the Creative Soul Cafe. I can't wait to share with you my new workshop, The Soul's Journey. It's interactive, hands-on, and runs for 12 weeks at the University of Attraction. With discussion groups and weekly modules to download, we'll explore the hidden codes in your DNA and use my new tools, the Emotional Bagua, to help create your success. If you're ready to follow your passionate life purpose, claim your place at The Soul's Journey. Subscribe now.
Let me just mention some really exciting things that are coming to the University of Attraction. First and foremost, did you know that when you take my course with the Red Jewel Box, you will be able to see and talk to me no matter where you are in the world? That's right. I'm so excited because now I will be able to connect with each of you. You don't even need a phone. You will see and talk to me through your laptop or your desktop computer. So come and connect with me at the University of Attraction, because not only is it a great place to learn from leading edge experts on the Law of Attraction, it's all about building a special community of like-minded and inspirational people. We, you and I, are going to become very close friends. We're also planning on holding social events, single events, in which you will be able to see and talk to other people. We're talking parties here, even wine parties. Wouldn't it be fun to play with people who have a higher vibration than what you're used to? Oh, and by the way, we just recorded Dr. Pillay's course about the Law of Attraction, and it's in video format for you to look at. But it's really terrific because you can come to take this class with him. He'll see you, you'll see him, and you'll be able to interact. Now, how is that for increasing your vibration to match his? That's very powerful. And he'll be able to answer your personal questions to make sure that you have absolute clarity about the effects of the Law of Attraction and your mind. I was in the last class, and I got to tell you, it's just like we're in the same room.
It is a phenomenal experience. So come join the University of Attraction, and I'm going to send you a link to join me on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, where you and I and others get to set our intentions, visit, and play and inspire each other. I am so looking forward to Wednesday night. I'll see you there. Well, I promised you a story, and here it is. And it's about a young man who learns what's most important in life from the guy next door. It had been some time since Jack had seen the old man. College, girls, career, and life itself got in the way. In fact, Jack moved clear across country in pursuit of his dreams. There, in a rush of his busy life, Jack had little time to think about the past and often no time to spend with his wife and son. He was, after all, working on his future, and nothing could stop him. Over the phone, his mother told him, "Mr. Belzer died last night. The funeral is Wednesday." Memories flashed through his mind like an old newsreel as he sat quietly remembering his childhood days. "Jack, did you hear me?" "Oh, sorry, Mom. Yes, I heard you. It's been so long since I've thought of him. I'm sorry, but I honestly thought he died years ago," Jack said. "Well, he certainly didn't forget you. Every time I saw him, he asked how you were doing. He reminisced about the many days you spent over his side of the fence," as he put it, Mom told him. Jack said, "I loved that old house he lived in." "You know, Jack, after your father died, Mr. Belzer stepped in to make sure you had a man's influence in your life," she said. "Yeah. He's the one who taught me carpentry," he said. "I wouldn't be in this business if it weren't for him. He spent a lot of time teaching me things that he thought was important." "Mom, I'll be there for the funeral," Jack said. And as busy as he was, he kept his word. Jack caught the next flight to his hometown. Mr. Belzer's funeral was small and uneventful. He had no children of his own, and most of the relatives passed away. The night before he had to return home, Jack and his mom stopped by to see that old house next door one more time. Standing in the doorway, Jack paused for a moment. It was like crossing over to another dimension, a leap through space and time. The house was exactly as he remembered. Every step held memories. Every picture, every piece of furniture. Jack stopped suddenly. "What's wrong, Jack?" his mom asked. "The box is gone," he said. "What box?" Mom asked. "There was a small gold box that he kept locked on top of his desk. I must have asked him 1,000 times what was inside, and all he'd ever tell me was, 'The thing I valued most,'" Jack said. And it was gone. Everything about the house was exactly how Jack remembered it, except for the box. He figured someone from Belzer family had taken it. "Now I'll never know what was so valuable to him," Jack said. "Well, I better get some sleep. I have an early flight home tomorrow, Mom." Now, it had been about 2 weeks since Mr. Belzer died. Returning home from work one day, Jack discovered a note in his mailbox. "Signature required on package. No one at home. Please stop by the main post office within the next 3 days," the note read. Early the next day, Jack retrieved the package. The small box was old and looked like it had been mailed 100 years ago. The handwriting was difficult to read, but the return address caught Jack's attention. "Mr. Harold Belzer," it read. Jack immediately took the box out to his car and ripped open the package. There inside was the gold box and an envelope. Jack's hands shook as he read the note inside. "Upon my death, please forward this box and its contents to Jack Bennett. It's the thing I value most in my life." A small key was taped to the letter. His heart racing, as tears filling his eyes, Jack carefully unlocked the box. There inside, he found a beautiful gold pocket watch. running his fingers slowly over the finely etched casing, he unlatched the cover. Inside, he found these words engraved. Jack, thanks for your time. Harold Belzer. Wow. The thing he valued most was my time. Jack held the watch for a few minutes. Then he called his office and cleared his appointments for the next 2 days. Why? Janet, his assistant, asked. Well, I need to spend some time with my son, he said. Oh, by the way, Janet, thanks for your time. And here's the moral of the story. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Think about this. You may not realize it, but it's 100% true. One, at least two people in this world love you so much they would die for you. Two, at least 15 people in this world love you in some way. Three, a smile from you can bring happiness to everyone, even if they don't like you. Four, every night someone thinks about you before they go to sleep. Five, you mean the world to someone. Six, if not for you, someone may not be living. Seven, you are special and unique. To all of my listeners, I just want you to know, thank you for your time. And I especially want to thank my friend Alice, who took the time to send me this. Thanks. Now, let's hear from Melody R. Green, who I consider to be a living angel. If you heard Melody's show, you'll know that her voice is like a soothing song to the soul. She's a poet, a writer, an author, a metaphysical expert in color therapy and aromatherapy, an angel artist, and an angel intuitive. When you see Melody's picture, all you can see is her beautiful, soulful eyes. And you know what? It just brightens my day. Truly, she is a person who is beautiful inside and out, and I admire this angel greatly. It's no wonder why her radio show is called Creative Soul Cafe and is becoming so popular, because this is the place where you can come to find comfort. It's a wonderful place to just kick up your feet and drink a cup of Joe. Welcome, Melody, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
So, Melody, tell me what's so spectacular about your course. Why is it so life-changing? What should people expect to happen after taking your course?
Okay, well, it's a bit like a gear shift, first and foremost. What's actually happening is that your bodies, all of your bodies, not just your physical one, but those that are in spirit, are being realigned so that you are actually in a much better space to create what you want. So that's ultimately what's happening. And that will happen in all sorts of ways. We work on the chakras. We work on the biofeedback systems of the body. We learn to use color and sound and storytelling to help move some of those ideas that have got stuck out and support the body. So it's, you know, you will feel quite different at the end of that 12-week period.
I've noticed a shift after the first class.
That's right.
And you mentioned to me that you are actually getting assistance by the angels for this particular class. Tell me about that.
Well, I and the angels have been friends for a while. I think probably through working with color was the way that I got into that, because the color is actually one. Color and sound are the two forms that the angels use to connect with us. So, you know, they're the vibrations, if you like, that the angels come in on. And so I was working with these. And so therefore, of course, you know, I would access them. And it was about trusting that what I was receiving was actually correct. And so in the mid sort of 90s, I opened my own healing center, and I called it the Angels Light Center, which of course is nothing better than doing that to bring the angels in, right? It's to give them a name and say, come on. And so that's what they did. They came in and around. And, you know, I would see them around people. I would recognize that there were angels around people. When I was originally doing readings and things, I would kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, that's a body that looks a bit stronger than normal. What's that? And then I'd realize that it was an angelic presence. But for me, I suppose the biggest major shift, if you like, in terms of connecting with them was one evening, well, actually very early morning, when I couldn't sleep and I was up and getting a cup of tea. And I have to say that where I was living at that time was just down the road from an old people's home. So, of course, you know, we often had spirits in our house because they would pass over and then they'd come to what was light and think that they were home. And my son would sort of run around and go, Mom, there's another one of those things in the house. And I would have to kind of help them connect to the angels and go to where they needed to go. So in a sense, I wasn't surprised that I had these energies in at 3 o'clock in the morning. They were almost 15 feet high. And the number of them, because there were about at least 10 is what I thought, you know, and the very huge presence. So in actual fact, even though it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, it looked light in my kitchen. And so I'm busy making a cup of tea, feeling this energy behind me and going, I'll talk to you when I'm ready. And then turned around and saw this massive light in my kitchen and went, oh, okay. Maybe I should sit down for this one. And so the angels came to me and they said, we want you to do something. And I said, yeah, I'm happy to do anything that you ask. And but just tell me what it is first, right? We are typically very human and very skeptical. So anyway, they said, look, I want you to draw. And I said, oh, no, 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 you've got the wrong person. You've definitely got the wrong person. And they said, no, no, we've got the right person. No, but I don't draw. I'm not an artist. Go find somebody else because this is not me. And they said, yes, it is you. It is you, and we want you to do it. And I said, but I haven't done any drawing since I was like 5, right? And that was because my brother came along 5 years after me and he was brilliant. I mean, you know, he put a pen in his hand and he started drawing from very young, 2.5, 3, and drawing animals and getting all the you know, the balance of them right and so on. So it was quite clear that that was his skill and that's what he'd come in with. And I kind of looked at my, you know, what were probably quite normal 6-year-old drawings and looked at his and went, okay. Maybe I find another talent, which is what I did. But what the angels explained to me was that what I was doing in drawing those scribbles and coloring them in, and what I was actually doing was seeing energy patterns. And that this was a way of me being able to see, because I'm not actually clairvoyant. And so that's my least developed skill. And so to get anything that's actually physically, you know, like is a vision, is actually quite rare for me. But what I do have is a sense of hearing and feeling and knowing. And so it's those skills that come in. And so anyway, they said, look, you know, from that age, you've been drawing us. You know it when we're here. You do these colored patterns and that's our energy. And that is what we want drawn. So I looked at them and I went, okay, I'll do this, but, you know, this is a tight week. I haven't got any finances for any of the tools that I'm going to need. Like, you know, tell me, you'd better show me what's going to happen. So they said, don't worry about that. We'll fix all of that. So the next day I get up and, you know, do my usual things, get my son off to school, and I'm walking back. And instead of going the street that I normally go down, I went down a completely different one. And halfway down the street there is a bookshop and art supplies, and it's closing down, right? And everything is on half price. So I walked in, and I didn't know what I was looking for. I didn't know what I was supposed to be drawing with. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know anything about what I was going to be doing. So I found myself just walking around the shop, and I'm going, okay, lead me to where I'm supposed to go. Just show me. And so I was in front of all of these kind of textures that they use when they're in art rooms, you know. And so I just started taking colors, and I had about 25 of them. And I got some paper, and I thought, oh, yeah, I need some, like, geometric shapes and things like that. So I bought all that, put all of those on the table in front of me on the counter and said, you know, how much is this going to be? He said, oh, you can have the lot for $50. Right? So that was immediately like a saving of about $70 or $80, right? And I looked in my purse and I had $51.
Oh my gosh.
So I gave him the $50 and I came out with these and I went home and I went, I hope you guys know what you're doing because, you know, there's the food money for the week gone, right? And so they said, don't worry about that. Don't worry. So anyway, so I started these evenings of getting, well, mornings of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to draw these drawings. And the first energy that came in, I sat with that energy and it was excruciatingly long because I didn't trust myself. You know, it was like, well, what color do you want here? And what shape do you want? And I just didn't let it flow. You know, it was excruciating for them too, I'm sure. but especially for me. So after the first couple, and each energy came in and sat with me while I, you know, did their drawing. And so what I ended up with was a series of geometric shapes. And I looked at these shapes and I went, okay, these are all very interesting and very pretty, but what do they mean? And they said, oh, don't worry about that yet. We're not ready to tell you what that is. The time will come when you need to know what that is. So after 12 odd days, I had completed the whole 12. And they told me, we are the angels of peace. That was their first comment. Their second comment is, now that you've completed them, we would like them to go into the UN Assembly room in New York. And I went, great. How do I get those there? You know, I live the other side of the world. I'm not in a position to be able to just fly off to New York. They said, don't worry. We'll find a way for you to do that. Just relax, right? And you know, we will tell you each step of the way what we want you to do. I might add that in that 12 days, I had a tax return that I wasn't expecting that more than covered for the cost of, you know, what I'd put in and allowed me to have some time. I had clients that I had booked all cancelled for that week. Like, I was just given one job to do, and that was to be very clear about working with the angels. So they organized it all, and I just followed it through. And then some, that would have been about September 97, I think it was, 97, yeah. And in, I didn't hear from them again. Christmas time, they thought, oh, I said to them, what do I do with these, right? And they said, put them in your healing center and put them in the hallway so that when people walk through, they'll walk through our energy and we'll just keep transmuting all of the stuff that they bring with. And, you know, everyone would come through and they'd stop and they'd look at the drawings and they'd go, what are these? And I'd go, you know, they're the peace angels. And, you know, we would just kind of have a bit of a conversation about it. And I certainly think that they helped all of those clients that went through that time. So it came to just before Easter the following year, and I was supposed to have this magical 4 days. My son was going to his father's. I had planned all sorts of things with friends, and then what happened was all the friends cancelled, and the angel said, please make this time free. I think they made it free, quite frankly, because we want to work with you at this time. I said, okay. So I started work thinking that I was going to be doing, you know, very quiet meditation and so on. And I started off and they sort of did some realignment for me. And then they said, okay, we're wanting now for these to go where they need to go. And I said, okay, so what do you want me to do? We want you to go into meditation. We'll direct it. Right? And it was very interesting because a lot of meditations that I do, I don't see very much. Right, so here, this was crystal clear, like in, you know, as though I was walking with a movie camera through this place. And I was in this building, and there were some official-looking people with me, and I had in my hands the drawings. And I knew the angels were there, so I knew they were conducting it. But so I'm following around, and we're trying to find a place to put these angels in. Find a place on the wall is what I'm thinking, right? So anyway, we went through the whole building, like from the bottom to the top. Finally, we get to this major hallway, and they open the doors, and it's, a tiered auditorium and sort of semicircular. And down at the bottom, there are a whole pile of children, and there every child has got like a greetings card. And they are handing them to this man, and this man is reading them. And they're in all different languages from around the world. And there must have been like 50 kids there. And all of these kids are saying that on their card, the only thing when it gets translated is, I want peace. Right? That's all I'm here for. I want peace. So it's pretty, big. I'm going, okay. Yep, we want peace. We know that. So then I was instructed by the guys that were with me to take those drawings down to the guy that's taking these other cards from these children. So I went down and gave them to him. And when I turned round, all the angels were in place in this building. And they were lit either side and around the back. And I thought, oh, okay, obviously you're in this place, wherever this place is. So I didn't think anything of it. I came out of the meditation. I asked them if everything was okay, and they said, yep, we'll be in touch with you later, and thanks very much for doing the work. The next morning, I'm listening to the news, and it's, I think it was Saturday. So it would have been Easter Saturday. That's right. And the day before, they had signed a peace treaty in Ireland.
Wow.
In Northern Ireland. And I went, oh. Oh, that's why they had to be there, right?
Yeah.
And so they came in and they said, thank you very much for doing that. And I said, well, I'm happy to have helped. And they said, that was something you came to do right from the beginning. In this lifetime, that was one of your key things that you wanted to do. And I have Irish ancestry, so it kind of makes sense. And then they said to me, we will be coming to you at different times, and we'll want you to do different things, because you've agreed on quite a long contract with us to do various things. So I said, fine, whatever. Let me get back to my real life. And continued. And then the next time I saw them was actually late last year. And it was before I actually signed on for the radio show. And they said to me, it's time now for you to start getting our information out better. We want this knowledge out to the world in a better way. And I said, well, you find the way, I'll do it, right? And within a week, I had contacted you. So it was like, okay. This is clearly part of the journey, and I didn't think anything more of it. And then when we were talking about the law of attraction and putting the university in place and doing the course, I thought, yes, I need to do the soul's journey. That was understood, but I wasn't quite sure how it was going to be, because I've done the soul's journey before, but it was like the first version of it, and the angels were not part of that, not consciously anyway. But this time they came in and they said, oh, no, you have to actually use those drawings, and with the client base that you're going to have through the course, and that we will help work with them, and then they will take our energy out to the rest of the world. So so I said, okay, so that's why you're getting these funny-looking drawings as part of the show, because the course, because that's what they're for. It's the angelic realm coming in and reconnecting with people.
Wow.
That's a story.
Wow. That is so wonderful. Gosh.
It really makes a lot of sense, because I know the last 4 years since I started broadcasting, I have been on a journey with the angels. They really have been doing all of this for me and providing me with all these opportunities. So it's not a surprise that you and I would be connecting on the network. And I'm thrilled to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really enjoying being on it. And I think, you know, I think the thing is that people do actually come together in groups to do the work that they need to do. And what we are seeing globally is a whole series of people coming together in different networks and using that energy to rebalance what's going on. I think we're only going to see more of it. So before what we've seen is that huge numbers of people have collectively joined together, and I suppose for want of a better word, you'd say through a religion. And now I think what we're having is more individualized, you know, taking control of our own power and bringing that back to ourselves and saying, well, we can still work from a spiritual and a religious sense, but we don't need to do it as part of a whole group. We can have our say in this whole process rather than be just on the receiving end of a religion.
Mm.
So I think that's one of the things that's actually happening. And, you know, when you think about it, we're not the only group. There are lots of networks going on all around, you know, the world, thanks to the internet and the technology that we have available, which is connecting people that would never normally be connected. And yet are actually part of the same soul group.
I know, it's so exciting. It's like the world has shrunk. I mean, we have listeners in Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Russia, China, Japan, and even Singapore. So people are able to group together and not even really know each other and never meet. It's so exciting. And I think must be attributed to the angels. How else could this be done? So let's get back to your course. I want to talk about the things that have happened to me since I first began it. Like, for example, I can't even believe this. I am a vegetarian now, and I wasn't before. It's like I've lost all desire to eat meat. As a matter of fact, I get close to meat, and I start thinking about the animals. It's like I'm picking up their energy, their feelings. If they're fearful or frustrated or sick, I can pick that up.
Yes. And one of the things that happens through the journey is that as you fine-tune yourself, these sorts of things come up. So it doesn't mean that everyone is suddenly going to become a vegetarian or anything like that. So people can relax. But it's whatever is blocking you from having that connection. So for you, that was eating meat. It was too dense, and your sensitivity to the animals involved has meant that you've been carrying that energy, and the alignment with your soul's journey is not to carry that energy, you know, is to be in a different vibration. So it's going, well, that just has to go. And people will find that as part of the journey. Changes happen. I mean, I've actually done work with people and in this area, and they've had, like, this one woman I remember very clearly. She had two lumps either side of her nose. And she said, oh, I hate these lumps, you know. And they weren't ugly, but for her they were something that was really important. And we started work on the soul's journey, and within 3 weeks, of working with it, the one lump disappeared completely. She rang me and she said, you'll never guess what, I haven't got a lump on my left-hand side of my nose, you know, the bridge of my nose. I said, so now you're lopsided, is that what you're trying to tell me? And she said, no, she said, I think it's really great, you know. So that was part of her changing her belief patterns and allowing more of herself into place, you know, the real us, into play, and getting ready to take on what was her role, you know, what she came here to do, her purpose and her direction. So soul's journey is very powerful. It doesn't appear like it when you do it going through it. It just feels like, oh, this is nice, just a bit of information, a few meditations, and, you know, it's done. But in reality, what's happening is there's a lot of changes going on in your soul's energetic field. And I think one of the things that happens is that you're actually bringing in more of yourself. You know, we have been so conditioned to be small, and one of the things that Soul's Journey does is expand us. so that we can go into the fullness of who we are. And so we need to, some of that is about letting go of our fears around what it means to be expanded and our fears around where we're from anyway and what we're about. You know, we need to remember those things in order to be able to take those steps. And I haven't had anyone that has gone through the process, either in the first or the second incarnation of this thing, that hasn't kind of gone, you know, I'm changed at the end. You know, I have more awareness. I have more connection to my intuition. That's a usual first step. You know, and they will have physical responses to that because you're expanding your skill base. You know, if you looked at it from the point of view that, you know, you've never done cycling before and suddenly you take it up and you do it every day, you know, every muscle in your body is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what you're doing here is you're using muscles and connecting to parts of yourself that have not been connected before. So you will get that spiritual equivalent, which can come in ways like, you know, feeling a bit headachy, feeling a bit spacey, wanting to sleep. It's a really good sign if you want to sleep, because what that's actually saying is that spirit are wanting to reprogram you, and the best way is for you to be unconscious for it to be done, right? So the body has a chance to cope with what the changes are that are going on.
You have probably heard my sniffles. I have got a real sinus thing going on. What's this about?
Well, that's your clearing out process. And possibly also to do with the fact that you've had a shift in diet, you know, so the body is releasing its toxins. And I would say that combination of things is probably what it's about more than anything. And also the other thing is that you will be coming in and out of being whole. So in that first session, we talked about the connectedness to the God force, right, to the source. And what happened was you had an expansion and understanding of wholeness of yourself and wholeness with the source. And that means where that sits is on the turquoise chakra, which is where the immune system is. So immune to me means I am one, right? That's what the immune system means. And, you know, what you're doing is you're kind of moving in and out a bit while you're trying to get that balance. And it will impact on colds and things. That's just normal. So rest.
Rest, yes. I notice I have been wanting to sleep more. On top of it all, I've been having this urge to totally redo everything. I guess that's shifting the energy. I totally revamped my entire home office, reduced the clutter dramatically. And if this course did help me to reduce the clutter in my home office, thank you. That is just wonderful. I feel like a different person already.
Well, that's the other thing, of course. You know, your connection to spirit has to then become primary. And for that flow to happen and for you to be truly connected to your intuition so that you trust it 100%, you have to be an open vessel. You have to be like a piece of glass with the energy flowing through the middle. And that means you cannot have clutter around you. And I'm looking at my house at the moment going, oh, I haven't got time for the moment to fix what is really bothering me, which is, you know, junk. Things I haven't put in the right place and stuff that needs to go out. I seem to be a paper collector. And, you know, sort of, you know, be matter, you know, draw matter to you, draw creation, attract, and I attract lots of bits of paper. So it's like this all has to go. So that's part of that clarity of mind, clarity of purpose thing that you are starting to put into place, which is absolutely essential if you want to really work with your intuition. So I suppose where this course is different from other courses is that we are working a lot on the emotional and the hidden. This is actually where my strength is. I have done lots and lots of work, first and foremost on myself and then on others, around looking at the emotions and why they're stuck and why they're there and finding tools that will clear you of that so that you have that clarity that you need. And the soul's journey is one of those tools.
And I'm going to highly recommend it to anyone, because if you really want to see change in your life, it's unreal. It's totally unexpected in every way. It's just incredible. Now, I notice in future classes, you're going to be talking about angel drawings. So let me ask you, is it better if we draw our intentions out instead of perhaps typing them on the computer? Like, if we want a house or something, should we be drawing at a house? Is that our connection to the angels? Or should we be drawing money? Or what should we be doing?
I think you should be doing everything. You know, you should be doing whatever you feel compelled to do as part of that process. And I haven't got it here, but I start my intention by actually doing a drawing first. Right? So I do a drawing of the energy of what I want for the year. And then I start looking at words around that energy. What does that energy mean? So for me, this year is about being wonderful. Last year was about being risen, and I drew this angelic form in with all these amazing sort of turquoises and blues and golds and yellows out, and sort of looks like kind of like a risen phoenix thing, right? All these feathers. And it is actually what that's now I understand it much better than when I drew it, right? Because when you draw it, you're just totally in the trust of what that's about rather than knowing what it's about. So I named it I Am Risen, and it was about rising this voice, you know, because all of those colors are around communicating. And so I looked at the time I put it on, I went, oh, that looks pretty, went on my wall. And, you know, what I've seen over the last 12 months is this being rising up out of the silence of me into speaking my truth.
Wow.
So, you know, it's certainly, you know, fulfilled its capabilities, if you like. And the thing about doing this kind of art is that you do not have to be an artist. It's not about being an artist. It's actually about just trusting and playing, you know, just playing with yourself in terms of playing with the colors and feeling moved to do one thing or another. And so part of what we're doing in the Soul's Journey is we're going to be looking at some of those tools and breaking down our resistance to using them because we think we need to be perfect, because we don't.
Mm.
You know, it's about how do I get this message that's inside me that has no form and, you know, very little sound or whatever, how do I get that out of me so that I can see it? You know, in actual fact, you know, I believe that we are an extension of the God force, right? So as the life force, we come out into the world and we are the source's mirror, right? If we were not outdoing our thing, the source would not know itself in its hugeness. And in a sense, we are the same. You know, we don't know ourselves till we put something out there and we have a look at it. And so it's this that is, you know, that we're doing by doing our drawings and whatever. Certainly, you know, I know from what I do with writing and, you know, apart from all of this work that I do, you know that I'm a poet. So when I am being a poet, when I'm writing as a poet, my connection is totally to source. It's a very conscious stream of consciousness that comes down and is written. And I trust completely. I don't check it. I just let it go. Now, I can't do that if I have a computer in front of me. It doesn't work. Because it's an emotional energy, and the emotional energy needs the pen, and I'm actually left-handed, so it's like, you know, direct connection from the heart goes straight down on the paper.
Wow.
And our arms are an extension of our heart chakra, so therefore it doesn't actually matter whether you're left or right. You still have that capacity. But when you start to look at putting things on computer, this is a much more technical and logical format. And so it uses more of our logic to do it. And it's a form of integration because you're using both hands at the same time. You know, so your mind has to be involved in it. Now, having said that, some people find that being on the computer is their connection, and I'm not, you know, knocking that because it's whatever way you can connect. I don't care if you have to, you know, sit on your right shoulder and have your legs in the air. It doesn't really matter. What happens, providing you have this connection happening, you know, and you trust it in whichever way it comes through.
You know, that makes sense. And I know that I have a habit of staying behind that computer for hours and hours and hours. And so that's telling me right now that I need to break free and go connect to the angels in another form, like art. So that's been very, very good for me. Thank you.
Do you do any journaling?
No, I'm sorry to say I don't. It just seems that all I'm doing is working nowadays.
Well, take 10 minutes. Don't give yourself a hard time about it. Just, it's not something that you need to, feel you rigidly have to do every day. But if you feel an urge to kind of find out what's going on inside you, then journaling is a way of doing that. And, you just keep something separate, but use a pen. And I suppose, because I'm a writer, this whole thing about scribe, about beautiful paper and pen and stuff like that, and prefer, if I can, although I can't always take it with me, use a fountain pen. I like the pen. I like the scratch. I like the sound on the paper. It's part of my sensual experience of writing. And if I'm, just sort of scribbling with a pencil and, or a biro, it's sort of not the same for me. Because it doesn't mean that I'm having that connection happening. So it's about thinking about how we live our life more juicily, more lusciously to express our spirit, And that means bringing lots of color and lots of sound and playing with those elements.
On a personal level, I'll tell you what I want to get out of your course. And for the first time, I can actually see that it's a real possibility that it could happen. I want to be able to turn over a lot of my work to the angels. I'm not trusting yet. I am still into the action and the control. And I so long to just turn it all over to the angels and just quit working so hard.
That's really great because, and I think one of the things is, the reason that happens is because we start to clear the energy fields of the body. And so, you'll know the difference. I mean, I know when an energy, when I'm connecting and I've got a message that's coming through that is not my everyday brrr in the head, it feels different. There's a different vibration happening in my body and I can recognize it. So it's about finding out what those click points are for you and then going, yep, I've got it. No, I haven't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being able to recognize when that happens so that you can be in the space. And the more you practice it, the more clear it becomes, what happened for me was I was really good at getting it for other people, as part of the work that I did, because I was working with people. If whatever I got, I trusted completely for that person. I didn't trust quite so well for me. I had to learn to let go in order to allow that energy in. And it's a continual growing process. It's not something that you learn, that's it, it's finished, it's over. It's a journey of deepening.
Mm.
So, I'm different in my understanding connection now than I was 12 months ago, that I was 5 years ago. And hopefully that I'll be 20 years from now. The idea is to deeply connect. And yet at the same time, and this is something that people on a spiritual journey often have problems with, we are still here in the third dimension.
Mm.
And we have to have our feet grounded. We can't be in spirit and not be here because we're not any good. So, you still have to be able to interrelate with others and the energies around you and maintain that. And that's the mastery of the art form.
You talk about 2012 in the course, and you have a unique angle on it. And I would love it if you could share what 2011, 2012 means to you.
Well, that we are in the midst of a shift, and that shift has been very well documented through a lot of our indigenous people around the world, including the Maya. The Maya have been very specific and gone, there is a time and that date is 2012. And what I think it means, how I understand it is, if we go back to the source is a breathing entity. It breathes out and it breathes in. Right? And when we breathe out, we're expanding, and when we breathe in, we're contracting. So my sense is that we are in the midst of one of those changes of breath from being out and in. And this, my sense is that while the whole time we are expanding, right, because as we breathe more, there's an expansion, we are actually in a place where we're contracting in that we are becoming closer with the source. We're becoming more aligned with the source. We're becoming more aligned with who we are and why we've come here and what we are as humanity, what our role was, if you like, on the planet. And I think we've become quite... we become like wayward children in the way we have looked at the world and how we felt that it was our oyster and could do anything with it. And now we are having to come back to understand that every action that we have has an obvious reaction and that we're responsible for that. So, you know, a lot of the work that you'll see through the law of attraction and this form of communication is about becoming responsible to oneself. And as part of that responsibility to oneself, which means that we are not responsible to in the traditional sense of that word, but we are able to respond to ourselves. So as things impulse through us, we're able to decide, yes, that's something we want to do. No, we don't. And we're learning to have that moment where we decide or where we look at what our possible circumstances might be as a result of our action. And then we make action to move. And this is because our vibrations and everything are changing. And as we get more in alignment with that source, we are going to have more of those godlike qualities as part of our being. So you can imagine if you have someone with godlike qualities who has no sense of values or alignment with the planet or connection to people, they can run riot and really do some damage. So part of what we're doing is we're learning how to handle these skills that we actually have innately in us that have been closed down while we kind of work through all this emotional stuff that we have been through. Because it requires for us to have a different way of looking at the world. We have to come from a place of peace as our basis in order to have those skills and use them appropriately so that they do not hurt other people in the process of using them. It's not that that we are not able to have anything we want. We can, but there are consequences, and we need to know how those impact on others if we take, you know, too much space or don't think about that impact. So I think we're going through this massive change, and the shift is from everything outside of us, responsibilities outside of us doesn't belong to us. You know, it's something that goes on there. We've got governments look after us. We've had church that looks after us. We've had, you know, our local councils and so on. Everybody else makes our decisions for us, to coming back to a center place which says, no, I am responsible for what I create. And therefore, I need to take responsibility. That's a big shift from where we are. And I think that's what it's about. The, you know, we've had all sorts of stories come through, and it's a way of people trying to grasp what was happening. And the feeling was that there was change happening, but not necessarily knowing how. And so, you know, we've had all sorts of stories about rising to the fifth dimension, you know, having trips on spaceships, and I'm not saying that they're not possible, because, you know, within the space of being able to choose, you can choose anything, and that can include that if that's your so much your desire. But as humanity, I think it's actually more middle ground than that. And the middle ground is that we are transforming. We're actually, if you look at it from a chakra point of view, we are moving from the power center of the mind, which sits on the tummy, you know, the gold, the yellow center. We're moving to the heart center. And what that means is, first of all, we have to transform our negative energy around our heart emotions, how we express ourselves and the feelings that we have and the resentment and the hatred and all of those things. And when we get that more open so that we are able to accept others and know appropriate ways of expressing our anger so that, you know, we don't annihilate the person with a thought, we can then start to find ways to live more comfortably within that vibration. So yes, we are some people feel that we're moving up to the fifth dimension. I actually think we're bringing the fifth dimension in. I think that's what's actually happening. We are bringing more of our vastness down to here. That's how I understand it. So this is why you're seeing a lot more people that are multi-talented, multi-skilled. You're seeing a lot more geniuses, if you like, because they're actually accessing that energy and bringing it through. And that is our natural birthright. So, you know, none of this kind of I can't do stuff. Yes, you can. Just choose. Choose to do it. You know, choose to learn it. Choose to remember it. Choose to bring those skills in. And part of doing the soul's journey, and this is the exciting bit, is that you can actually start accessing that information. Right? And that makes you a whole person. That makes you able to come and experience your life more fully, which is why you came here.
Exactly. You know, I also want to touch base with this aromatherapy and flower essence, because I noticed you talk about it in the course. Tell us about that.
The aromatherapy and the aurosoma and the flower essences. Sometimes we need something to assist us. It's not enough. You know, the changes that we're going through as part of this course are actually quite vast. You know, you think about giving up, you know, meat.
Yeah.
That's quite a huge shift.
It's
right?
huge.
And there is a transition required. Now, what happens is there's a physical transition, so there are physical, you know, feelings that you will get, and you've been getting, you know, the headachy and the cold. But there are also things that are happening on the other vibrational aspects of you. So the non-physical parts of you are also realigning, right? And there's been shifts and changes. And what happens is the color and the flower essences actually work as a support system for them. So imagine that, you know, you're looking in your wardrobe, right? And you've bought this new coat and it's got very broad shoulders and all of the coat hangers you've got are sort of 4 inches too small, right? You need a coat hanger bigger for that coat. And that's actually what the essences and color do. They give you a coat hanger for your new creation that you're making. Right. So you don't, it doesn't collapse in on you. So it's supported till it gets some strength. You know, that's
interesting.
Like putting on a brace when you've broken your leg, you know, it's the same thing.
Wow.
So it's about support. But it's more about, like, you know, every single person that does spiritual work of any description, and even if they don't do spiritual work, even they're just a person, you know, without any interest at all, we have emotional states, and those emotional states need to be released and need to be, and our essence needs to be supported. And flower essences, especially a rescue remedy of any kind, will help do that. You know, if you're expanding outside of yourself, I suppose the best way to say it is if we put our hands together, you know, hand to hand, that is what our body looks like, our etheric and our emotional bodies and our physical body, if we're in alignment. Those hands fit absolutely. If we shift them to the left, right, and you get, you know, a sort of overlap, that's actually what happens when the body is not in a grounded position. Emotional body is not connected properly. And 90% of the people that I see walking around the street, that's what they look like.
Wow.
If we aligned them into their own being, they would automatically become much better creators, enjoy their life more. You know, like, these are basic steps. So we are already angels. We are already ascended masters. We are already, you know, bodies in other dimensions. We are everything. And we are our own version of that. When we allow that energy to come through us, then what we create out there is only limited by how we view the world or what we want to see. So that's where I'm hoping to take people through that journey.
Now, if you would like more information about Melody, go to her website, melodyrgreen.com, or go listen to her fabulous show on Law of Attraction Radio Network, Creative Soul Cafe. She is just a delight to listen to.
It's good. I enjoy doing it. And I've really enjoyed talking to the people that I've had on the show that have been able to share their wisdom and, you know, bring that information out to people. It's I consider it quite a privilege to be doing the show.
Thank you, Melody. This has been a really fun show tonight, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, and I am happy to hear from any of the participants about what's going on. You know, they only have to email me, and if they get stuck or they need an answer. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much, Melody. We'll see you at the University of Attraction and the Creative Soul Cafe.
Thank you.
And to all my wonderful listeners out there, thanks for your time. I really enjoyed it. Come see me at the University of Attraction. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at jules@loaradionetwork.com.